Good morning, everyone. I'm saying that because they're telling me it's just like in Kentucky. The clock is wrong. It's actually 2 minutes slower. And that's just like we are back there. So it's not like my watch. And I can ignore the bell like I do at home. And I could go, oh, no, Chad's telling me no, that's not what he said. Oh, okay. Well, that's too bad. Actually, he's going to give me like a 10-minute, so I'll know how to go. I love teaching class, and I know Wednesday I didn't hold to this, but I really do want to try this morning, and please help me with it. Let's discuss this. We're going to be in the book of Psalms, so I hope you have your Bible with you, and I think everyone will, because as I said, you are good Bible students, and I realize for a lot of you that's probably electronically. But many of you carry a Bible. I sell that during the week. And we're going to be in the book of Psalms, and we're going to start with Psalms 1. And if you would, go ahead and turn over there. Do we usually have a word of prayer, Donnie? Does that? No? Well, we do if I'm teaching a class. So let's go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. Would you bow with me, please? Our great God, our loving Father, hallowed be your great and glorious name. We love you, Father. Thank you so much for this wonderful privilege that is ours to be gathered in this place, knowing, Father, that these things are indeed a privilege to open up your most holy word, to study from it together with those of like precious faith, to know, Father, that these things are a blessing indeed. We pray, Father, that our hearts are tuned to the things of your word and your will, that we take these things deeply into our minds, into our hearts, that our lives are truly changed and made more glorious, more fitted to your kingdom and to your rule and your reign in our lives, and that we too, Father, are compassionate toward all those around us, that we share these things immediately and quickly with those. We look for those opportunities, and we do so, Father, and walk into those opportunities. And we say and we do those things with a loving care as we see that in your Son, and we see that in your will. And we pray, Father, that we do that in a way that is pleasing to you and we bring glory to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and amen. So here we are in Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That should be our desire as God's people, to be like that tree that is planted by the rivers of water, so that we shall not be moved, so that our faith is steadfast and it holds strong and we shall not be moved. That grand thought, they're able to stand come what may, confidence to overcome, that attitude to be secure, content, confident. So what gives people the confidence to say, I shall not be moved? We want to make sure that's us and we have that right confidence. The interesting thing is that phrase and that wording is found three times in the book of Psalms. And it might interest you to know it's found only one time in true security. And it's found three times altogether, two times then it's found in false security. So as I said, I want to cover all three of those. That's why Chad's going to help me out and give me that last 10 minutes, and we all together can cover that last 10 minutes, make sure we get that true security, and we can leave here with that wrapped in our minds fully and in our hearts so that we make sure we get that. So I want us to discuss these other two together. Go over to Psalm 10 and look at what it says in Psalm 10, and let's discuss these others and see why it is that these others are there also. Here's the first one. I shall not be moved. The wicked say this, I shall not be moved. And it's interesting that they would say this. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. I'm in verse 4 there of Psalm 10. Look at verse 5 now. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. So why does he think, I shall not be moved? What's his first major thought? Look at it. What's it say, Mike?
I.
Yeah, it's all about me. And what's his first big thought about I? I shall never be in adversity. Wow, really? It starts right here. It starts in youth. Help me out, young people. What's the problem with our youth? I'm an old guy. You know, I used to think this way. When I was bouncing around 14 years old, you guys looking 28, 29, 30 years old, you were old people. You were the old people. Yeah, come on, 14-year-olds, weren't they? They're the old people, aren't they? Yeah, they look old to us. Nothing's going to happen to me at 14. Yeah, Don?
They haven't lived quite long enough to experience adversity.
Yeah, you haven't experienced enough adversity. Now, I know there's adversity there, but you know what? It's not me. It's not going to happen to me. I've got everything I need. I'm strong. I've got it, right? Is that how you think? Come on, remember those days? Oh, I know, it's hard for me to remember those days. But you know what gets an old man in trouble? You know where most accidents happen for us old men? Is when we think we're 19. We get up on the roof or we're climbing up on a ladder. For me, it's getting on that little two-step ladder in the kitchen. And I have an accident. Yeah. Well, that's right. Confident, but a rank sinner. Look again at verse 7. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He's a rank sinner. Verse 3, for the wicked boast of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. I'm not saying that of our young people, you understand. I'm talking about this fella here. But youth sometimes has these ideas, and it's not until you add 20 or 30 years of life and the body begins to suffer, you take on some things, and then you start to realize, but when you're young, the sky's the limit. You know, that's when you get in that car. That's why you can turn that radio up. And that's saying, you know, they're going down the street. And it's boom, 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 boom. And that, you know, those slick tires. Remember those tires, guys? You know, you buy those tires for $5. And they were so slick. If air had color, you could see it. But you were still going 80 miles an hour. Danger was just something somebody else was in. Wasn't going to happen to you when you took that curb on two wheels. Risk. That was fun. And I was a risk taker. I took a lot of risk. Well, it looks very, very dangerous now. Just youth, the things that go with it. Never be in adversity. There's two problems. The young grow old, don't they? Old people tell the young people. It was only yesterday. And young people, I know it's hard to hear these things, but it was only yesterday that young girl back there and I were walking down the aisle. Man, if I showed you the pictures, you'd say, you sure that's you? I had hair. I was in Naval Air, flying machines, amazing stuff. We've got 8 grandkids. One of those 8 is on the way. It's an exciting time still, but it's a totally different time. And yeah, that's just amazing that that's all going on. Take your Bible, go over to Ecclesiastes with me. Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter, look at what it says in verses 9 and 10. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these your God will bring you into judgment. Now, there's a paradox going on here. There's a paradox. It may seem to contradict, but if you think it's saying enjoy your youth, but God will judge you and condemn you, that's not what it's saying in these verses. That's not it at all. But it is telling you, young people, it's not condemning you. It's telling you to enjoy your youth. That's the first part of that. But then verse 10, it's warning you, do not abuse your youth. Don't abuse it. Be careful in it. Look at verse 10. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Enjoy it with sobriety. Enjoy it with wisdom. It's fleeting. Look over there at Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, right? What do you want to do in your youth? Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Yeah. Well, we had a young man there at Sewanee. I never got to meet him. But I have met his character. I have met his reputation. His name was Tim. Timmy died of cancer. He was diagnosed with it when he was 14. 15, 16, 17, he died. But man, he left a reputation at that congregation. Whew. It lives on. Because he lived in a way, the whole community still remembers him. It was many years ago. I've been there 11 years. And it was before my time. That's the kind of thing you want to do, young people. And that speaks volumes about what you can do in Christ. And enjoy your youth at the same time. He lived a good life. He did a lot. He learned to play the guitar. He lived a full life. It was a short life, but it was a full life in Christ. For I shall never be in adversity, false security. Sometimes we get to looking at our health. Yeah. You know, everything feels good. I feel good. My cholesterol is good. The checkup is good. The blood pressure is good. I'm the picture of health as long as my physical body is well. What's wrong with that idea? What do you really know? What do you really know? Yeah.
When you're young, or when things are going well for you in your life, you feel like you're in control.
Yeah.
Things, you got everything under control, you're going to handle every situation. And then when something bad happens, you realize how fragile life is.
Yes. And that's, you know, a violent wake-up call if you're a wicked person. That really, this is all I've got. Then what do? You can't pray because this is all I got. You have no place to turn to. And you're it. If you're it and that's all there is, and you lose your health, that's really sad. It's a sad condition. Yeah. And how much do you really know about your health? Yeah.
Even if you're young and healthy, the reality is look around, everybody's getting older. Someday, you're not going to be healthy.
Yeah.
You have to face that, and it's coming quickly.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to date myself with some names. Anybody remember Magic Johnson? I know that's a name that in my time, He was warned about AIDS. Didn't help him. All the warnings didn't help him. Promiscuity. He was warned. Didn't help him. Anybody remember the first Superman? In my time period anyway, it was Christopher Reeves. Man, he got up on the screen, the big screen, and went to the movies to see him fly. Well, people stood in line. Saw him fly. And he, wow. I know on TV we had the other guy, but that was kind of the, for my generation, that was it, man. He, nothing could knock him down. Nothing could do him in. And he was riding a horse one day. Was thrown from the horse, broke his neck, was paralyzed from the waist down. He died at 52. Impossible, right? Mm-mm. Superman died. Whew. It's a wake-up call for my generation. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, let's look at a couple of passages here. Just think about some of these things. Look over at Psalm 39. Go over there to Psalm 39. What's the psalmist trying to tell us in these passages? Psalm 39, verse 4 and 5. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but a vapor. Is that there just to terrify us? What's God trying to get us to do? What's that all about? Yeah. Life is short. Yeah. With as wonderful as life is, count, you know, take time, count the moments, enjoy it, embrace it. But no, it is frail, it is momentary. And what should you be ready to do? Enter into eternity. Be ready. You know, I say it often, it'd be great to die in the pulpit. It'd be a shock for you. It'd be great for me. Could it happen? We just read it could happen. Dave could die. I don't know what the next heartbeat might be, might not be. I was in a meeting one time, lady. Fell out. We had to call an ambulance. Brethren, what should we do? We went back and finished services. She recovered in ICU that afternoon. We didn't know if she'd recover or not. She was 88 years old. She thought that was the best thing we could do, and she was glad to hear that's what we did. Yeah, that's, look over at Psalm 90, similar idea. Remember the first time I went into a plant? Where the modern day shuttles for weaving. You look at Psalm 90, 9 through 12. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength there are 80 years. I hope you don't have to get to be 67 before you start realizing the weight of that. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off when we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Yeah, it gives you wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Another thing that comes with this is, I'm the exception. Isn't that funny? I've got friends that, they get the newspaper. I don't get the newspaper anymore. I've finally gotten around to doing the electronic thing. But they still get a newspaper, and they look at the obituary. Just find that an interesting thing. I do look at the accidents that take place. We've got an I-24. I know y'all have different interstates. Have you noticed the accidents? They're just increasing, it seems like. They're more horrific than ever. I look at those. I avoid the interstates more. So maybe that's all part of this. But yeah, I'll never be in adversity. I'm the exception. Really? The Tower of Siloam? Isn't that what Jesus was saying? You think they all thought they were the exception that day when that fell? Who do you think you are? Time and circumstance happen to every one of us. It could happen. What's the point? Be prepared for eternity. You don't know. Don't be like the wicked and live in false security. Don't do that. So don't let that happen to you. It said in his heart, God is forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. Yeah. God knows, surely. We need to be wiser than that. It's appointed for men to die once, and after this, the judgment. And we're all going to kneel before God and give an account of our lives. So don't let that happen. And then in prosperity, Psalm 30, verse 6, now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. That's the second false concept. And we Americans are bad about this. How much we trust in our riches. You know, I got to where, and I don't know how much Donnie has shared with you, but I was a Christian. I had that baggage coming out of poverty, and I got to a place where I was pretty wealthy. I had the big home, the cars, I had the stuff. It was just Cheryl and I. We'd go anywhere we wanted, weekends. And we started hopping here and there and doing the things. And I started to see myself, and the power was getting to me too. And there's something to that, isn't it? It wasn't just the money. Man, you get that parking place. Where the boss wanted to know, what do I want? What do you want? I want a parking place. Nobody else had one. He did. He owned the place. And he said, let me think about that. So he gave me a parking place. I want an office. I told him the size I wanted. He said, that's bigger than mine. And he said, you can have one, but it can't be bigger than mine. So I made sure it was 1 square foot smaller than his. I made sure everybody knew it. That's what's wrong with that. That's sick. That's what's wrong with that. Pride goeth before a fall. I'm supposed to be a child of God. What's wrong with this? And I'm being wined and dined. Not that I drank. But, you know, people would fly in from New York into Nashville, and we were caught up in it, man. And I was, and I could see my priorities were slipping away. And I had to make some real hard decisions about where I was going. And I think Cheryl knew it. It was slipping away from me. My spirituality was going in the wrong direction. And I told my boss, I can't keep doing this. And Ira didn't understand. Ira Katz, he wasn't a Christian. He didn't understand what I was talking about. But we had some conversations about things. So I left there, and I took a vice presidency job at a company I was doing some consulting work with. And when I got over there, I was there for about a year, but I had decided I wanted to preach full time. And Debbie Saunders, who owned that company, said, "You're not going to do that." She said, "Who in their right mind is going to do that?" She said, "You're not going to leave here." So I gave her a 6-week notice, turned into 8 weeks. She said, "You're not going to do that." And she just was sure of prosperity. She knew it wasn't going to follow me. She said, "You're not going to do that." Well, I'm so thankful I did it. I was caught in a net that I couldn't get out of otherwise. I'm not suggesting you have to do that, but for me, I had to do that. It was the right thing for me to do. And I haven't looked back. And I don't have any regrets, but if you have to do that so that you shall not be moved, do it. Please do it. That rich young ruler, sell everything. Do it. And save your soul. By all means, do it. It's worth every penny. I don't know what you have to do next, but do that. It's worth every cent. Don't live in a false security. Americans, don't worry about it. It'll be all right. God will take care of it. Isn't that the point that Jesus is making? Matthew 19, verse 20, 24. Yeah. Proverbs 30, 7 through 9. From that point, it became my favorite passage for a long time. I keep it in my prayers. Two things I request of you: deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. I have two faithful sons. Their wives are faithful. My grandchildren are on the right track. I was blessed to be able to serve as an elder in the Lord's kingdom. That was what I set out to do. I didn't set out to preach. I wanted to do that. I don't believe I would have done that if I stayed on that course with Hartman and Daytrek, some of the ways I was going. Maybe, but not the way I was going. I don't think so. There are better men than me that are able to do all those things and pursue those other goals, and I'm thankful for them. But 1 Chronicles 29, 14 through 16, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you." Think about what was being done. "For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own." What are we being told there? What are they recognizing on that occasion? Remember, they're building the tabernacle, the temple. What are they doing? They're giving all that stuff. What do they recognize? Where did it all come from? Whose is it anyway? It's all God's. I see your lips move. It all belongs to Him. You see, sometimes we lose sight of that when we've got that abundance. And we worked hard for it. It's our hands that did it. We think, "I did all this. Look at what I built. Look at what I did. I. There we are. Now we're talking like the wicked. I. Right? Let me tear down my barns and build bigger. I. My. Yeah. So it pushes God out. We don't want to do that. Yeah. We don't own anything, do we? How much of this stuff we're going to take? We know. Just a gentle reminder. Don't let it get you. Don't let it own you. Especially if there are big decisions coming down the road. I don't know what's going to happen. Neither do you. Next 4 years? Next 5 years? How long do countries last? Ooh, don't look at that too hard. I don't know. Revelation 6, verse 17, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Oh, who is able to stand? Will the wicked stand? They could say they're going to stand. I am able to stand. My youth, my health, my wealth, my prosperity. Poof. It's all gone in a moment. Right? That's what we see. Yeah. It all turns to dust, and the spirit goes back to God. We give answer. We give answer. And it's just a, isn't that a great wake-up call? You say, wow, on Sunday morning, we've got to think about these things? Yes! Let's think about these things. These are the big things we need to be thinking about. Right? That's called upon to think about. So who shall stand? That's a great question. Who shall be able to stand? Well, here it is. Psalm 16, verse 8. Jot it down. Who shall be able to stand? I have set the Lord always before my eyes. That's right. I have always set the Lord before my eyes. That's not the wicked who believe they shall never be in adversity. With that false trust, that's not it. This is true security. That's not the nominal Christian either. That's not the Sunday morning only fella. That's not the grunter. That's not the groaner. That's not the one that leaves the religion at the door there and goes out this building immoral and ungodly as the rest of the world. Don't kid yourself. Notice what it says. I have set the Lord always before me. Do you see it? Look at it hard. Make sure you get it. Set the Lord always. Constantly serving the Lord. Not well. So how's that working out in the workplace? Who do you serve? You've heard lessons on that. I want to stand. I want to stand. You see, we want that. How do you stand in work? In the workplace. Yeah, that's part of it, isn't it? Constantly serving the Lord. Not self. You know, you want a New Testament example? Yeah. I shall not be moved. There it is. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Philippians 1, verse 21. We could have started there and had the same lesson. Nothing different. Essentially what Paul is saying in that same lesson. Why? Because set the Lord always before me. For to me, the sinner, to live is pleasures of flesh, and to die is corruption. Right? for the carnally hypocrite, to live is anxiety and doubt, to die is loss of all that is good. To those who trust in their riches, to live is money and wealth and ease, and to die is bankruptcy. I'm going to lose all this. My fear of all that loss. I tell you, a miserable thing that preachers get to do is go to that place of death. I'm not talking about the funeral home. I'm talking about the bedside. Bedside of those who are dying, who are wicked, and watch them die. And you had all those conversations with them about living right, trying to get them to do what's right. Well, they listened to sermons along, or at least they heard sermons along the way. And I can't tell you, Cheryl could, the number of people we sat, broke bread with, who were rich in this world. I could name a few, you would recognize the names, who are wealthy. Wealthy beyond what I thought was wealthy. We'd call them millionaires. Probably beyond that in this realm. Who breaking bread with me would tell me things and cry and break down because their families were a mess. A mess. And they wanted better. But they would not accept the truth of God's word. And then I'd get the call that they passed from this life. I'd have others who would hold to evolution. And then I'd be invited maybe to do something toward a service. Let me tell you something. No one wanted to hear Darwin's words at a funeral. But they wanted to hear Psalm 24. Now you put that in your pipe for a while and think about it. There's power in that. These are men of wealth, women of wealth and power in this world. And they know better in death. I'd like to have a conversation. I wish I could bring one of them back right now. But you have this, and it's more powerful than that. Listen to it. Do something about it now while you can. Please, I beg of you. Paul would say, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Let that be your cry. Before it's everlastingly too late. Please. I have set the Lord always before me. There's a crowd of witnesses of faith. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every weight. That's not just sin, but all these others. You've heard me say it before. These trinkets and baubles and boats, cars, and things. Houses and lands, whatever they are, they get in your way. They're slowing you down. Throw them away. Get rid of them. Give them away. Last boat I had, gave it away. Just do it if you have to. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Look, the verse gets better and better and better, doesn't it? I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. That's where he is always, at my right hand. Always. Right there. Right there. At my right hand. Whew. You keep on reading, it just gets better and better. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Yeah. Yeah. That's true security. Set the Lord always before me. God is at my right hand, my rock, my power, my strength. Yeah. Yeah. There it is. Realize the Christian's going to have adversity. You're going to die. You're going to grow old. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be pain. But my power, my strength is right there. Yeah. In tranquility or adversity. In youth or old age. Vitality or failing health. Prosperity or poverty. Life or death. And you know what? One of the wonderful things, I can't promise how it's going to work, but it has for me. I don't understand it, but it's been a wonderful thing. When I turned loose of that thing for all that need for having things, it was like it was just things happened in God's providence and his love, and I just kind of jumped into his trust. In his providence, things were just taken care of. And I'll share this in the short version. You want to hear the long version of it, it's marvelous. I got sued by our government. Sure, I'll tell you. Wow, we just both dropped to our knees and we prayed. Because our government is big and it could come at you hard. I was preaching at the time. When I had very little resources. And they came at me for a whole lot. And the advice I was given, I was in the right, but I had signed some things when I was in the military, and they had every right to come at me. And the lawyer said, well, you know, you can negotiate. And I said, well, this is not fair. And she said, fair is the color of skin in the Bible, and you ought to know that, Mr. Morrison, you're a preacher. And I thought, well, I learned a lesson there, okay. I taught that lesson to others and my children. And it didn't have anything to do with the law. That's what she was teaching me. And it didn't. So I negotiated with government. We got it down. What I'm about to tell you was just these folks that knew I came out of the business world had contacted some other folks, and they wanted to give me a gift. They had no idea the government was suing me, and they wanted to give me a gift. I'm talking about the providence of God in all this. All this was going on, and this dear couple who I had known from years ago had called these elders, and they wanted to do this anonymously. And we get this call. The elder said, Dave, are you sitting down? I said, no. He said, you need to sit down. So I'm thinking, I'm going to be able to take Sherrod to eat tonight. Someone wanted to give me a gift. So I sat down. And they said, are you ready for this? So now I'm thinking, well, wow, maybe I'll be able to pay a couple more bills. Cheryl and I didn't get excited about this suing or anything. All we did was pray about it. We kept praying about it. It was the dollar amount, almost to the penny, of what I was going to owe after all the things were done. I don't know how all that happened. Yeah, I do know how all that happens, but in the great big scheme of things, I'm still shocked by it. I'm still wondering about it. I praise my God for it. I thank my God for it. But that's a wonder. That's a marvel. What I'm telling you is I've never had to worry. I've never had to be overly concerned about finances. It's just always been there. It's always been okay. Stepping away from all that has not been a concern. Trust God. In prosperity or poverty, just trust Him. Life or death. I've gone to that spot at the hospital when someone's been passing who is a child of God. It is so wonderful to hold the hand of someone who is dying, even if all their family is already gone. And they're dying. And they die in peace. Oh, it's a comfort. And you get to deliver the sermon, their life being of faith. Wow, it's just a blessing upon a blessing. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And it is a precious thing when a child of God dies. I don't like funerals any more than anyone else does. But when someone dies in the Lord, heaven rejoices. We can rejoice. It is a good thing. It's a hard thing to lose someone. But heaven does rejoice. We can rejoice in those good things. I'll give you one more passage to consider. Look over at 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Often marvel at our dear brother Paul. So many things he went through and dealt with in this life. Starts out with a we. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound the glory of abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, wow, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Into the next chapter. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And then verse 8 and 9. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Amen. We'll stop right there. Thank you so much for participating. Hopefully we can remember those good things and think on those good things as we go into our week and into the rest of the day. Hey, Mike. Thank you.